There's a major shortage of baby formula in the U.S. right now. About 40% of baby formula just isn't on the shelves. The shortage was triggered by the closure of a plant in Michigan earlier this year. But why would the closure of one plant cause such a big shortage in the first place? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your life right now? Are you a parent in need of baby formula? Has the shortage impacted you, or have you been able to find it in store on store shelves? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Colin Lodewyk is a writing fellow at Fortune, where he reports on work and the economy. Colin, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, of course. Thank you for having me on.
Well, the center of this story, this plant in Michigan, an Abbott Nutrition plant, had to pull a product connected to infant deaths because of contamination. Remind us what was going on there.
Yeah, so to understand what's happening, you kind of have to go back to fall of last year. Between September 2021 and February 2022, there were reports of four illnesses, like you said, and two deaths in infants that were linked to baby formula produced at this single plant owned by Abbott in Sturgis, Michigan, and a bacteria called Chronobacter sakazaki. In response to those reports, the company voluntarily recalled its products on February 17th and began its own investigation into the potential contamination. In line with its own investigation, the FDA also had its own investigation, which it started on January 31st, but that didn't complete until March 16th. So Chronobacter is a pretty common bacteria, and Abbott found it during its investigation, later said that using genomic sequencing, the bacteria that it found did not correspond to the strain that was linked to those infant deaths and illnesses. The FDA, through their investigation, found other compliance issues that kind of go beyond the specific issue with this bacteria, including workers at the plant not wearing proper protective gear, things like that. So as a result, the plant is still shut down. And yeah, that's kind of where things are right now and what has happened.
So why is the closure of one plant having such a big impact overall? You might think, well, it's just one factory.
Yeah, of course. So the thing is, baby formula is an extremely, extremely tightly regulated industry. Like in terms of the Food and Drug Administration, it sort of falls more on the drug side just because there are so many specific things that have to go into formula. And as a result, the companies that have the most resources have been able to dominate the industry for years. The most recent numbers that I have from 2011, I believe, from a USDA report said that Abbott had a 43% share of the market. Little has changed since then. Another factor contributing is the fact that these major manufacturers are able to enter into exclusive contracts with the USDA's Supplemental Nutrition Program for Low-Income Families. Its nickname is WIC. And when it has a contract with WIC, it basically, you know, contributes or provides baby formula for low-income families in an entire state. Based on numbers that I have, Abbott provides baby formula for approximately half of WIC participants.
Now, we've got this shortage. You talked to some people in your reporting and asked your readers to share stories. What kind of things did you hear from people as they try to scramble to find formula?
Yeah, so people across the country are, you know, feeling the shortage, feeling very desperate. Something that I've been hearing again and again is how people are spending hours and days driving between different locations trying to find any formula on the shelves. A lot of the times parents rely on a, you know, specific type of formula that works best for their child. And then when they are not able to find that specific formula, they kind of are reticently switching to other formulas that maybe their children don't respond to as well. I've also heard a lot from grandparents who are, you know, because their children maybe are working parents, don't have the time to be going store to store. So they're the ones kind of taking up the extra effort along with, you know, other family members or friends. I've also, you know, been hearing reports of people using alternative formulas, homemade formulas, you know, that is widely recommended to not happen. You know, pediatricians across the country say do not use homemade formula, but when people are being pushed to sort of desperate measures, that's like, you know, one kind of avenue that it seems like people turn to. And then when people are not able to access formula at all, there are also reports that they're, you know, watering down formula, just, you know, stretch the last can a couple more days. So, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of at their wits' end with what's going on.
In just a few minutes, we'll hear from a Wisconsin nutritionist with recommendations on what to do and not to do, including a couple of things that Colin mentioned readers were doing. Colin Lodewyk is with us from Fortune, where he reports on work and the economy, looking at this baby formula shortage around the United States, causes and possible solutions. And let's turn to that now. Colin, Abbott reached a deal with the FDA to reopen its plant. I'm guessing this doesn't mean that they're going to have product ready to hit the shelves tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. So that agreement actually still needs to be approved by a court in Michigan. And, you know, once it does, which could take a couple weeks, it'll take an additional 6 to 8 weeks before Abbott products actually end up on store shelves.
So that's that plant. Looking around the country, the other companies, the other plants that make infant baby formula, are they able to spin their production up to help make up some of the shortfall?
Yes, the FDA has reported that it's been, you know, in talks with all these other major players, including Nestle and Mead Johnson, in order to ratchet up their own production of formula.
And then how about importing formula from other countries?
I believe on Monday, the Biden administration announced that it would start to, you know, the FDA has very strict requirements for importing formula into the United States, but on Monday, Biden announced that he would ease some of those requirements to make it easier for foreign product to get into the U.S.
And are people talking about... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I also want to say that Abbott has said that it is attempting to also import product from its facility in Ireland, you know, to help mitigate the crisis.
Now, are people... These are shorter-term solutions. Are people talking about changes that need to be made so in future, if there's a contamination at one plant, it doesn't create a crisis like this?
You know, that's an interesting question. I actually haven't really been seeing any solutions for what might happen going forward besides, you know, more stringent requirements at, you know, different plants when they detect potential contamination, things like that. But in terms of, you know, breaking up monopolies or making it easier for competitors to get into the market, it seems like that is a conversation that's more difficult to have and probably, you know, further off in the future.
And Colin, as we wrap up, what are you watching for next on this story?
I am, you know, talking with as many parents as I can. I have, I believe, you know, 3 calls set up today with mothers who, you know, can't get formula still. I think I am interested to see if, you know, Abbott says that it'll take 6 to 8 weeks to get formula back on store shelves. I'm wondering if things will get a lot worse until then, or if maybe the other efforts that the FDA, the government, and Abbott are taking will start lessening the crisis over the next couple of weeks.
Colin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Colin Lodewyk is a writing fellow at Fortune, where he reports on work and the economy. He talked to us about the ongoing baby formula shortage, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Coming up, we're going to hear from a Wisconsin pediatric dietitian. We want to hear from you if you use this formula, if you are able to find it. If you are, great. We'd love to hear about that things are going well for you. If you've had trouble, if you've had to switch brands or switch stores to be able to find it, what are you seeing out there? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email us ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk about a baby formula shortage. We're going to get some advice from a Wisconsin dietitian now. Still time to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Parents and grandparents, what are you seeing out there if you rely on this formula? Are you finding it on store shelves easily, switching brands, or just flat out having trouble finding a source? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you work with infants as a pediatrician in healthcare or other services, what are you hearing from your patients, your clients? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Hey, if you work at a store that sells this stuff, are the shelves empty or you got a pretty good supply? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Camilla Martin is a pediatric registered dietitian at UW Health. Camilla, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course. course. Thanks for having me.
I want to start with something we just heard from Colin, who's been reporting on this. Some of the parents he's talked to have said they're watering down the formula, diluting it more. I understand that's not a great solution. Can you talk about that?
Exactly. So the issue with watering down formula is because us as adults, our bodies have the ability to process nutrients and things that come in really different ways. We have a much more advanced just body as a whole and gut. So it's the kidneys that filter water. And if we're diluting down formula, it's making it more concentrated with water. And for an infant, their kidneys are not actually able to process that. So it can be quite dangerous and has resulted in hospitalizations and even infant deaths. So that's why we strongly encourage not watering down formula if a family is able to do that.
And then Colin also mentioned you heard from people looking for online recipes for formula. What are the problems we run into there?
So many of these recipes are coming from the 50s, 60s, before we had the FDA's tightly regulated system that Colin had mentioned. So these recipes, similar to watering down formula, can be very dangerous. Our body has the ability to break down different nutrients as they come in. For us as adults, if we have a day where we don't eat as well as maybe we should have, our body's still able to process that in a safe way. But for an infant, their body isn't able to break things down. So proteins that it's not able to break down can be left undigested in the gut and can be quite dangerous and can lead to things like GI bleeds or malabsorption or just other issues that are really dangerous for infants.
Okay, those are a couple things to avoid. Let's talk about things that we can do now. A lot of brands are out of stock, but there might be other brands. How big a deal is it in most cases for parents of infants to switch to a brand that maybe they haven't been used to using?
I'm really glad you brought this up because as Colin has mentioned, this has been, these supply issues have been something that we've been dealing with in our pediatric specialty clinics for a good 6 months now. So we're handling these questions every day. Each formula company has different levels of different types of formula. A lot of them will use language that makes it seem like one is maybe better than the other. And some may be better tolerated for one child versus another. However, many formulas will have an alternative to a formula that a family is not able to find. So it is perfectly safe and it is within that FDA tightly regulated system. So it's perfectly safe to switch from one brand of formula to another. If an infant or child is particularly sensitive, occasionally we'll recommend to our families that they make a smaller batch of formula according to the directions on the can. It is okay to mix them to provide a more gradual transition. Otherwise, if a baby is fed from a bottle, we've had them switch every other feed. However, if they don't have some of that previously well-tolerated formula, it is okay to switch directly from one brand to another. That is perfectly safe and will be a much better option than watering down formula and can also make formula much more accessible. I'm working with families, and Colin mentioned stories for some of the individuals he's interviewing, for them having to drive hours to different stores to find a new formula. That can be really, really challenging to families that have difficulty accessing safe, reliable transportation with the rising cost of gas prices. So switching to an alternative brand can be perfectly safe and can make some of that stress a bit relieved to find something that's closer by.
Now, for patients, for parents who can't find a formula for their kids and, you know, maybe not don't have the wherewithal or, you know, their parents, the time to drive all over the county looking for formula, what kind of options out there? What kind of resources might be out there for them to get at least a temporary holdover batch?
So first, I would recommend finding an alternative brand that might be available at their local store. Each formula company uses slightly different language to differentiate what's standard versus sensitive versus comfort, soothe, or gentle. If they do feel comfortable navigating that language on their own, it is okay to switch to any other standard formula if that's what their infant or child was on previously. So that can be the easiest and can avoid some of that extra driving around. If a family has questions on that, I recommend that they reach out to their primary physician's office to help differentiate which one might be best for their infant, especially if they've had issues tolerating different types before. Otherwise, if they're working in like a pediatric specialty clinic with access to a registered dietitian, this is kind of the bread and butter of a lot of the things that we do. So we can provide an alternative. If they aren't able to find something in the stores, we're recommending that families look to an online major retailer, like any of the major companies, directly through their own website can be a good first option. Through like a certified Amazon retailer can be another option. Major stores like the Targets, the Walmarts, the Walgreens, the CVSs, go down the list. You can oftentimes purchase things online. So we would recommend starting there. If they're still not having luck with that, then we'd recommend utilizing their support system. Social media groups can be a great resource. I've heard of families who are who have the time and ability to go from store to store and are taking videos of what's in different stores. So there might be information on where to find information there or to find formula there. Because of the extra media attention, it's been really helpful that more people are talking about it. So reaching out to caregivers of infants and children that are dependent on formulas, they might be able to find something at a store near them before the parent is having to drive from place to place. I would caution families against purchasing formula if it's not from an authorized retailer. If it's from a social media group or a Craigslist or from like a foreign website, we don't have the regulations like we would over the major retailers. So there's no way to guarantee that it's not expired or recalled or was held at a temperature that could make it go bad. Also, if that formula is impacted by a recall in the future, if it's through a major retailer, lots of times families can get a reimbursement for that. You can't do that if it's from a family member or support system. So that can be a good resource, but we're definitely cautioning our families to make sure that it's from a safe source.
We're talking to Camilla Martin, pediatric registered dietitian at UW Health, looking at a shortage of formula for infants around the country and some advice. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Fran is with us in La Crosse. Fran, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just curious because I haven't heard this discussed before on the program tonight. Just wondering about women who are able to breastfeed and if this shortage might encourage those who are able to, that haven't before, to do so. It's free. It's accessible for those women who can breastfeed. And I don't want to shame those who do use formula because, of course, for medical reasons and other reasons, there are women who just aren't able to breastfeed and do need to rely on formula. But I'm just wondering if your guest could comment on that.
Fran, thanks for the call. Camilla?
Yeah, I'm really glad this topic came up because that's a big part of my role as well. We've been really focusing on formula. But as a certified lactation specialist working with families and increasing or making it increasing their ability to breastfeed is another big piece of what I do. Breast milk is an excellent source of nutrition. It's really kind of the gold standard for infants. So if a family is able to provide their infant breast milk, we would absolutely encourage that. And there's lots of different lactation resources around the community. Within a family's healthcare system, generally there will be a breastfeeding specialist available there. There's oftentimes breastfeeding specialists available through a local WIC office, the Women, Infants, Children program that Colin had mentioned, which as a side note is also a great resource for good information on alternative formula and obtaining formula that I didn't mention before. There's other community-based organizations like La Leche that will have presence in most communities. And then there's different organizations that you might be able to find in your local area. In Dane County, we have a wonderful resource in the African American Breastfeeding Alliance that partners with the Harambe Village Doulas, Roots for Change that partners with Centro Hispano. There's a clinic called Today, Not Tomorrow. So there's quite a few breastfeeding resources that are available. And if a family is struggling to provide enough breast milk, or they're having issues with it being painful, supply is an issue, we would definitely encourage them to reach out to those resources to help make that a little bit easier and more feasible. However, unfortunately, this is not always something that's possible for families to provide due to, as the caller mentioned, medical issues with not enough paid family leave, with not being provided sufficient breaks, So there are issues that can interfere with that. So that's when formula can be a good backup. And that's when we get into all of these alternatives that we've been discussing.
Fran, thanks for the call. Aaron joins us now in Milwaukee. Aaron, hi.
Hi. I think this is related to the last caller's question, but I was just curious what awareness and communication is going on with people giving birth right now at hospitals or birthing centers, you know, because if people are on the fence of, am I going to try the breastfeeding route? Am I going formula? Knowing that there's a shortage, I think, can inform people's decision. And so I was just wondering what kind of communication and awareness is being done with people giving birth or are pregnant right now.
Aaron, thanks for the call. Camilla?
That's a great question. So that's outside of the area that I currently work in. However, most local birthing centers will have their own breastfeeding class. That could be maybe partnered with a childbirth class or could be on its own. Quite a few of those organizations that I mentioned that can provide lactation support after an infant is born will also have classes or resources for a family to get informed on how to go about breastfeeding their infant. So I would encourage them to utilize those resources. Again, the WIC program is a really excellent resource for breastfeeding information from breastfeeding specialists, as well as a variety of different handouts and pamphlets and information to help a family prepare.
Thanks for that call. And Camilla, thank you so much for sharing the advice and resources with us today.
Absolutely.
Camilla Martin is a pediatric registered dietitian at UW Health. She told us about resources for parents amid the major baby formula shortage going on right now. I'll just say, as an adoptive parent of twins back in the day, we relied pretty heavily on formula. So my thoughts are with you if you're trying to deal with this. Good luck to you. Hope you can find what you need out there.